Good morning. This is Darrell Gunter, your host for Leadership on WSOU 89.5 FM and streaming on the net at WSOU.net. Well, today we're going to begin a series called the CEO Sales Expertise Project. The objective of this project is to help all of my good friends who are CEOs, who are brilliant in many ways, but do not have the expertise or the understanding or the knowledge and the skill sets of what it takes to build a true sales commercialization organization. So over the course of the next few weeks, we're going to uncover the sales process, the sales consultative process, the methodology, and as well as the different skill sets that one needs to truly, truly be a true consultative sales professional. So join me on this journey and feel free to reach out to me at any time if you have any questions. I can be found on LinkedIn. My phone number is 973-454-3475. You can reach me at d.gunter@guntermediagroup.com. Now, this course that I will be teaching has been built upon 30 years of experience from myself, my colleague, who's now deceased, Mr. John Hoffman, as well as Mr. Jeffrey Adams, different folks that I have come across through my career beginning at Xerox and continuing on through my consulting practice for GMG. This course, we've been teaching this course since September of 2009. And beginning this spring semester will be the first time that I will be teaching this course without my dear colleague, Mr. John Hoffman, who passed away this past fall for that. So let's think about and let's talk about what our agenda is going to be today and for this particular session. What we want to do is to think about what are our sales leadership objectives. We want to utilize a process to efficiently plan for calls. We want to refine the sales call execution process. And of course, we want to practice and receive feedback. And also, I want you to discover a process for continuous sales improvement within your organization. In my consulting practice, when I'm talking to entrepreneurs and businesses all over the world, one of the first questions that I ask them is, please share with me, what is your sales process and sales methodology? Oftentimes, I will have a CEO say to me, well, you know what? I hired a person with experience and I expect for them to deliver the sales. In one respect, that is good. But can you imagine going into one of your favorite chain restaurants and you ask for a particular meal that you always get no matter where you are in the world, and what is given to you is quite different. The components are different, the tastes are different, and quite frankly, it's just not the same meal. And when you think about how are you going to scale your business, how are you going to gain efficiencies within your business, you have to give thought to having a sales process and methodology for your entire business. And let me also say that everyone in the business is in sales, whether they're customer facing doing the sales directly, or they're in the office doing the sales process of invoicing the customer or fulfilling an order for a customer. It's all about giving customers that white glove service. No matter who is customer facing, that customer feels like they're being treated like the king or queen of the day for that. So when we look at these objectives, you know, you want to make sure that you have a process to efficiently plan for calls. too often times in today time, you'll find that someone will call you and they'll still say, oh, so tell me about your business. And I wonder, wait a minute, with the internet and the web and all the information out there, that they should have done some pre-call analysis, if you will, pre-call preparation. So instead of wasting time saying to the customer, tell me about your business, they can ask more deeper questions in regard to, so I understand that you're doing XYZ. How has COVID affected your business? Isn't that a much better question than tell me about your business? It's asking them about what's currently going on in their business and what challenges are they facing. And when you have a sales call preparation process, that allows you to uncover that information. There's another lecture that I like to do for my class where I talk about the power of information and making sure that they're doing their due diligence on all of their accounts. And we'll do that presentation as part of this series as well. But there's a host of sources out there for you to obtain information. And so when you look at having a proper sales preparation for your call is looking at, okay, so what is my sales process? You want to make sure that the sales process is as efficient and effective as possible. And we're going to go through that sales process and we're going to dive deeper into that. Practice and receive feedback. One of the beautiful things that John Hoffman would always talk about is what is the best practice of the best practice? The best practice of the best practice is, first of all, is to understand what is the best practice. Number two, to practice the best practice. Number three is to get feedback from a trusted source. I remember during my training at Xerox, what Xerox would do, they would have you in the branch for 9 weeks doing self-study. They had all these manuals and self-tests for you to take, so that after you finish your 9 weeks, you would go to Leesburg, Virginia, at the Xerox International Management Training Development Center, the XICTMD in Leesburg, Virginia. And you would arrive that Sunday, but that Monday morning, you will take a test to make sure that you understand your products and the services that Xerox provides. If you pass that test, you were allowed to stay for the next 2 weeks. If you did not pass that test, you were on the next plane back to your branch to continue your reading and understanding of the 9 weeks of material. And then, of course, you have to reschedule and go back. So you get there and you take the test, you pass it. And then my instructor was a gentleman named D. Kennedy, a lot of great energy, very, very positive gentleman. And he was the best at teaching, but as well as doing role plays with you. And then with those role plays, he would then give you feedback and he would let you know where you did well and where you can improve. Because everyone has areas that they can improve. So let's move on to our next topic here. So when you think about what do these people have in common? Mozart, Chris Rock, Bill Gates, Tiger Woods. The Beatles, Albert Einstein, Madame Curie. What do they all have in common? Well, what they have in common is that they practice. If you read Malcolm Gladwell's book, one of his books, he talks about the 10,000 hours. And the 10,000 hours of practice, what is interesting is that Chris Rock before he does his famous HBO specials, he actually spends a year on the road practicing, refining, redesigning his sketches. But it's because of that practice that he's able to, when he finally gets to the point of the HBO special, he gets to that point where it is perfecto. You might have read about Bill Gates when he was a teenager, how he spent hours and hours and hours at the University of Seattle, in Seattle, Washington, doing code. He actually wrote a program that was able to hide the fact that he was in there for 24 hours at a day. The Beatles, famous story there, the Beatles, they went off to Germany and played hours on hours on hours at different places in Germany and came back to Liverpool with their sound. And of course, Mozart, we know Mozart was the prodigy who practiced and practiced and practiced. But the key thing here is that if you want to do something well, you need to practice it and continue to practice it, but also to have a trusted friend to give you that great feedback. So let's talk about the consultative selling process. And let's talk about a framework that focuses on the customer's needs. A framework where you're putting the customer first and putting your product and your goods second. Because what's most important is that as a trusted advisor, we want to make recommendations that are in our customers, our clients, our prospects in their best interests. So in this framework, on one side, you have your client needs. And then of course, you have your company's needs because your company's in the business of being profitable, which means that you really need to determine if someone you suspect to be a prospect, to make sure that they will be able to meet your company's needs. Otherwise, there's going to be a mixed match and you're not going to have a happy customer because you're going to probably sell them something that they don't need. And as consultative sales professionals, we only sell people products and goods and services that are going to benefit them. So let's look at the first step between the client's needs and the company's needs, and that is needs orientation. Needs orientation is defined as asking a series of questions to confirm your sales hypothesis. Okay, let's take a step back. What is a sales hypothesis? In your pre-call analysis, when you're determining who you should call on, you should develop a sales hypothesis. And that sales hypothesis is this: I believe that my product, good, or service will be good for this client, this prospect, because of these three reasons. Let me break it down for you. So you have a customer that wants to do a virtual conference. You have a business that is a virtual conference platform. They have many choices. However, you want to say, okay, this client needs a virtual conference platform like underlying.io. And the reason why they need it is because it's a full HD streaming signal. They provide white glove service. They are able to do seamless sessions at the same time, concurrent sessions. They're able to incorporate other features from other vendors, such as gamification, or you might have GatherTown, where you have a virtual conference, gathering where people have video bubbles. So there you want to make sure that what you're doing at Underlying is matching their needs. So that needs orientation is where you're asking those definitive questions, making sure that you're going down the right track. during this questions, this orientation, the customer's needs are going to come out and you're going to confirm what their needs are. You might uncover some new needs that they might have. They might have some unmet needs or unknown needs that they didn't realize and that you didn't realize, but through the Q&A, it came out through the needs orientation. So then we move up to, now we've identified their needs. Now there's needs resolution. What are the most important needs that this customer has that your product, good, or service can solve for them? That is very, very important. So now we have the needs resolution. And the needs resolution means that the customer understands, you and the customer understands that your product, good, or service is going to benefit them. Now, from your company's needs, you're confident that your company can fulfill this product, good, or service, and that you can fulfill it and make a profit on it, which is very important. So with that, let's look at, you know, the situation of a customer. So a client has a view of their situation, and the salesperson has their view of a solution. Too often times, salespeople try to jump to the solution right away, but you need to be patient. Because basically, once the client provides their view of the situation, the salesperson should develop their view of the situation as well, but confirm with the client that what the salesperson heard and understands is what the client needs. So then in your discussion, you want to work towards the client's view of a solution. With the client's view of a solution and looking at your needs resolution, the salesperson is then able to make a recommendation, because now they know that based upon what the client has said about the situation, what the client has shared about their solution, that you can deliver a solution to them. So this is the consultative selling model. So, and we're going to go into much more detail, but here you see that you have the planning phase, that's the pre-call analysis. And then the opening is the first call that you have with the customer. In your opening, and this is where in your opening you want to establish rapport, you want to get an understanding of their situation, and that's where you're doing the probing and the listening. Now, you'll see these transition boxes. The transition boxes are very, very important, because in the opening, in establishing rapport, establishing the agenda, you want to, and we're going to get into this into a lot of detail. You want to thank the customer for scheduling the meeting with them. Here's the agenda. You want to confirm the time that you have with them, but also you want to give them the benefit statement. And the benefit statement says, Mr. Customer, by the end of this meeting, it is my goal that you will have a firm understanding of how my product or service is going to benefit you. And then from there, we move into the Q&A in regards to asking them questions about their business, about their challenges, and listening and getting more value and getting more information about their situation. Now, the next step there, which we're going to show you, is where you're going to talk about how your product, good, or service can meet their needs. And that's where, you know, where we're selling value. We're talking about what their needs are, what's the features of our product, good, or service, and ultimately what's the benefit to them. And let me say that when you talk about the features and functionality. Okay. And then the selling value is where you're really highlighting their needs and demonstrating how your product, good, or service is going to meet those needs. Now, sometimes as we're going to go through this model, we're going to encounter folks when we do a presentation, we do a proposal that they want to negotiate. And that is a whole session on itself in regards to the tools and tactics that we use as to how we deal with them and negotiating and negotiating a win-win. And then there's the transition to the close. And the close is where we simply ask for the business. Now, what's interesting is that a lot of times folks get hyped up about having to close for the business, and they say, and they get very, very nervous. But if you have followed the process, closing is a very natural step, as you'll see. So let's look at the consultative sales process. Now, here below is the planning piece. And this is where it's important for you to understand the objectives of your prospect, what their needs, interests, what is the value that your product, good, or service will have for them. What are the vulnerabilities? You know, what are the different things around your competition? What type of support will you need internally to be able to deliver this product, good, or service to your client? And then looking as into the planning for your first meeting, what will be your agenda? What will be your opening? And what will be your questioning strategy? How will you present your pricing? And what type of objections should you prepare yourself for? And so this is all in what we like to call the pre-call planner. So when we think about the meeting, the next step is the call. And this is where you have the opening, you have your greeting. This is where you're building your rapport. You're providing them your value statement. You're establishing that common ground. You're confirming the objective in the agenda and that they have the appropriate amount of time for you for the call. And this is where the next step is after we transition from the opening, where we're asking them questions about their business, about their challenges, about what they want to achieve. We're asking confirming questions, we're asking clarifying questions, and we're being very smart about our questions because we're going to pause after our questions to make sure that we're giving them the proper time to respond. And we always want to press for specifics. Tell me more. If they say, well, I'm not sure this is the right product for me, you know, ask them, so can you share with me some more about your thoughts there? What are the specific things that you can provide me? And then, of course, to reinforce good points, we want to paraphrase and we want to empathize. And then, of course, we always want to summarize key information that, that they provide us. Now, as we have got an understanding about what their needs are, what their objectives are, and this is where we want to sell value. We want to confirm their needs. We want to describe the features of our product, good, or service and the functionality, and outline the benefits or consequences of them moving forward or not. Always test for acceptance. What is testing for acceptance? If you hear it or not, you can say, oh, so you agree that this will be very useful for your business. And they go, yes, of course. And also respond to the cues. Do not ignore them, even if they're cues that you think are not favorable to you. Always reinforce the positive responses. And then, of course, for the close, you want to summarize your agreement. You're going to provide them documentation and follow-up. You're going to confirm their implementation plan. And also you want to express confidence and appreciation and thanks. And so this process will allow you to move customers very elegantly from one step to the next step. And it's a conversation. They will not feel that they're being sold. They will know that you're there with them to help them to achieve their key objectives. So the last thing that we're going to cover today, for today's session, because we're coming upon the close, is a strategy planner. You will see here that within the sales call, there's four key areas that we feel that you should focus on. One is developing a relationship. Two is getting and giving information about their business. Three, giving and getting information about your product, good, or service that is going to benefit them. Four is a commitment, whether that commitment is for a next step, a commitment for a trial, a commitment for a next meeting, a commitment to invite another colleague. That's very, very important. And we always want to give and get information. And I always like to start with getting information from them first, getting the customer talking, and then, of course, giving them information. In our next iteration of this particular session, we're going to talk about in a relationship, how do you give and get information to build that rapport? We're going to talk about in the information, the second one, the information, how to give and get information around their challenges, their opportunities, information that is going to support your sales hypothesis. We're also going to focus on giving and getting information about your product in a way where it makes total sense to them and that they know that, oh, well, here's a product, good, a service that is very, very good for me, very helpful for me. Last but not least, how to give and get a commitment from them in a way where they feel that they're having a conversation and they're not being sold to. Keep in mind that I want to share with you a Harvard Business Review article back from August 2012 that said that a well-staffed sales function is vital to business success. Consider, for example, the findings of a series of studies conducted since 1988 by the Salesforce consultancy Challey Group, analyzing data from more than 100,000 business decision makers. Challey discovered that 39% of B2B buyers select a vendor according to the skills of the salesperson rather than price, quality, or service features. So you want to make sure that everyone within your organization is presenting your organization in the best possible light. And also that everyone is fully skilled and trained on the products and goods and services of your company. So that your company is speaking with one voice to your audience. Okay, so that is going to wrap it up this week on Leadership with Darrell W. Gunter, where we're focusing on professional sales. We're focusing on skill sets for the CEO so that you will be able to hire better, train better, and most importantly, sell more. So I look forward to continuing this session with you next week. And remember, this is Darrell W. Gunter, host of Leadership for WSOU 89.5 FM. But remember, leadership begins with you.